Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We'll talk some high school, we'll talk some baseball, we'll talk some OU Texas. Got Coach Maynard coming up at the end of the show. Preview tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow's Elk City versus Clinton District 4A1 matchup right here at Big Elk Stadium.
That hit me this morning.
That is tomorrow?
Like, wait a minute. It's tomorrow.
I actually already have the intro. I did the intro yesterday to be sure and have plenty of time to try to get that done. So we'll talk to him here at the end of the show. Some OU Texas. Here's my plan. We haven't talked a ton about the game, but we got a bunch of other stuff going on, right? I mean, we've got state tournaments. Yeah. We've got the football games. Friday for sure is going to be almost completely dedicated. I mean, we'll recap the football games. We'll recap what we see in baseball and all that.
Makes sense, yeah.
But, a lot of Friday, Scott will be here. A lot of Friday, BOE Texas. But that doesn't mean we can't talk about today. So what are some of your best or even worst memories in the series? And there is one stat that it's crazy how consistent one stat is as far as who wins this game. We'll tell you where and when you can watch some of that fall baseball and fast pitch softball tomorrow. What are the bigger games of football around the district, around the state? And then, man, the baseball playoffs has been awesome. The Padres and Dodgers is everything we hoped it would be. We just need to get 5 games out of it because they hate each other. Hate each other. You got
baseball's so good when you got rivals in playoffs.
Yeah, and just like. I mean, we got players throwing baseballs at managers. We've got fans throwing trash at players. Man, Dodgers and Padres has been great. Something happened in these division series that's never happened before. I'll tell you what that is, and then how that equates to who might win after we saw game threes last night in the National League. So 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. You can talk about any of those things. What are your memories of OU Texas? What are your favorite or maybe non-favorite memories of that game? 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio.
Excuse me. There you go.
Yeah, midnight.
Late night, huh?
Mm-hmm. Got radio, got Penny News. A brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com, and then you can pick up free copies of the Penny News starting tonight in the morning. It's everywhere. Big Elk and Paragon TV on the air tomorrow. You're going to have – all right, let's run this down. So at noon and 2 o'clock, we've got Elk City on Big Elk TV, softball, fast pitch, super regionals from North Rock Creek. So that's a noon and a 2 tomorrow on Big Elk TV. Then, of course, at 7 o'clock, you've got the Big Elks and the Clinton Red Tornadoes on Big Elk TV. So you've got a full day of it there on Big Elk TV. Then over on Paragon TV, don't forget, tomorrow, Highway 34 clash between the Leedy Bison and the Hammond Warriors. Hammond's channel will have that game live for you on ParagonTV.com. That is a 1:30 scheduled start at Oklahoma Christian University for Hammond and Leedy.
Our man Ed's going to have the call on that.
Ed Crapshaw will be there.
I wonder if Kay, I didn't ask. I saw him last night in Cheyenne at the gym. I didn't ask him if he was going to have any help, surely.
So they'll be there. Hammond Channel, now, Paragon TV.
Now, wait a minute. So it is a rivalry game, Hammond and Leedy.
I would say so, yes.
Do we have to be the ones that name this rivalry? Is there not a rivalry? I like the highway thing going on here.
Highway 34.
The war on 34.
Ooh. Can we say war?
Yes, we can say war.
Are we sure? We can't even say shootout anymore. Can we say war?
We can say the war on the war for 34.
Okay. It rolls right off the tongue. Just hope we don't get canceled for using war.
I think our big guy will have our back if someone's going to try to cancel us because we used the word
war. Somebody print the T-shirt right now.
The war on
The war for 34. War on 34.
What's better, on or for?
Probably four.
The war for 34?
I mean, we could really get some, you got some alliteration going on there.
Oh, this is so
some
cool.
Some rhyming.
I'm going to text that now, so you better say that.
There we go. That'll be tomorrow, 1:30 on Paragon TV. And, of course, Skinny on Sports Podcast. If you miss the show entirely, you can find it anywhere where podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing about 80%,
late
85%.
Night. Late night. Man, that coffee, is this cup number two for you?
No, number one.
Yeah, I have to have two to get me going.
I'm not there yet. I got up early, went and walked. There was some lightning to the east. It was surely east of Canoe, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was weird. Yo, it was way east.
Okay, that's,
way,
it looked like
way,
it was way,
way
over there.
It was like, I think east of 35, maybe right on 35. That was so weird because I don't know why I do. When I'll get up in the morning, I go through a process, and part of that process is checking my email. And then I check the radar. Well, it hasn't rained in the better part of a month out here, but I checked the radar. And then I saw that over there. I thought, oh, well, they're lucky. They're getting rain. And then I went down to see where Milton was at.
Milton.
Milton.
What's Milton? Oh, the hurricane.
Could you not have named those the most... Is Milton mad because someone took his stapler?
Yes, that's it. You know, that's the only thing I thought of. I don't. I guess there's Milton Berle. He was an older actor. You know that guy?
I've heard the name.
But really and truly, Milton from Office Space is what I think of when I hear Milton.
It took my stapler.
And then he burned down the building. He warned him.
That's the last straw.
He literally warned him the entire movie that he's going to burn down the building.
That sounds good, Milton. He was saying it to us on the phone.
Okay, Milton.
Okay, Milton. Sounds good.
You go do that, big guy. Well, now, wait a minute.
Uh-oh. If you could just take your desk downstairs. Oh, there it is. He grabs a stapler.
Shots fired on the text line.
Oh, man. Have we started something?
Shots fired. Not much of a rivalry when the best team up north beats them down every year in baseball. Well, that didn't happen this year there. I know who that is, too. Yeah, we got both sides of this.
This is good.
We got some Hammond back at
you. This is good.
Warriors been hunting bison for a long time.
Oh.
I love it. Yeah,
ooh,
baby.
I'm like Michael Jackson in the theater eating the popcorn, just enjoying this.
See, I'm like Chris Tucker on Friday.
Just, or the guy, this meme that we're talking memes now. The guy peeks out behind the tree, rubbing his hands. Like,
yeah,
I'm all for this.
If this gets any worse, we're gonna have to be Homer Simpson and back into the
well, look what we started. Hopefully, nobody throws a baseball at a manager tomorrow. The game.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think if we went down, in all fairness, if we went through the years, I think that the team, the Leedy, would have probably a decided advantage on the baseball field in the all-time series.
Do we think so?
I know so. Yes, I'm positive.
I'm sure
true.
during the minor years that was pretty much one-sided.
That was no.
Not really?
No.
Really?
No. Leedy actually won a state title in the minor years. I actually watched
someone said don't bring up basketball. Well, yeah. Basketball season's coming. We're holding we'll wait on that.
Well, I don't know. How's that been going lately? One of my fondest memories of Ackley Park, actually, you know, used to long time ago, there was a tournament that was held here, and I know Elk City hosted a tournament.
Yeah.
And one year, Damon and Ryan were playing, in the semifinals at night, it was actually Elk City versus Hammond. Leedy was already in the finals. It was a great game. I mean, a great game, but Hammond ended up winning.
That was sent to me by Ed.
There you go. Ed's already on it.
Can't see it. He made a. It looks like
logo.
a highway sign.
Yes.
And it says "War on 34."
Ed is quick.
He said, and he's been referring it to this the
very
whole
good.
Time. So
he's way.
We
got to
credit Ed on this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, he's ahead of you.
Ed
anyway,
Crouchaw doing a great job. Good
so
job.
Hammond beat the Elks, and then the next night. The finals in Ackley Park was Leedy versus Hammond. And we got to give Big Shane Kauk all the credit in the world. He was throwing from the left side. I don't know if he would have broken glass, but he had the Hammond and the minor boys specifically completely out of kilter. And Leedy beat him like 4-1 to win that tournament. I remember it like it's yesterday. I was about 9 years old. Somewhere in that range. Yeah. So shout out Big Shane for a masterful performance in the finals of the Oak City Tournament circa about 1989. Something like that.
The text line's fun.
Yes. Everybody remembers that as well.
Yep.
So we'll get to see that version of that tomorrow.
That'll be good.
Speaking
third time they played each other, too. So
yeah, Hammond's run-ruled them twice.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
It's been about a month ago.
I mean, it means something, but it's hard to... Now, Leedy is probably one of the hottest teams coming in this tournament. So, I'm looking forward to that. I've been working with Ed getting his broadcast ready.
What about... you watching baseball last night?
No, like I said, I was over in Cheyenne in the gym. We had a late game. I say late. For fifth graders, it was late, like 7:15. So we got home about 9, and for the first time this week, I wanted to get to bed before 10 o'clock. And I accomplished my goal.
Mets, well, you know, Mr. Sparks and I were talking about this last night at the football game down at Cash. It's amazing how much the change in the mechanics of how the playoffs work has completely flipped the script. Like it almost feels like being the Dodgers, for instance. Because I mean, think about how long has it been for these two National League teams that got the byes? How long has it been since they played a game that mattered? A month? A month and a half?
Yeah.
Whereas the Mets had been playing for their playoff lives for the better part of a month. They had to go to Atlanta a day after the season should have been over and played a doubleheader that they had to win a game. And then, of course, that crazy game that they won. San Diego's been a lot the same way after they started, 50-50 and then really caught fire. You know, in the American League, Cleveland's had the Central pretty well sewn up for a while. New York's known they're going to be into the playoffs, you know, either while, you know, so those teams that got those byes and the division winners are almost at a disadvantage trying to have to crank it back up because they're playing these teams that are red hot. We saw it 2 years ago. The Phillies, a wild card team, all the way into the World Series. Your Rangers a year ago, same thing, except for they won the thing. And now when you look up in the National League, at least, we'll see what happens today in the American League, and some of these National League series could be, or both of them could be over today. But it feels like we're fixing to see wild card teams playing in the NLCS. And you want the advantage if you played the best for 162, right? But it does seem like there's some validity to the fact that those other teams that are fighting for their lives down the stretch have come in at a lot more razor-sharp level of play. And this isn't just a one-year thing. I think we've seen this all 3 years since 2022 when it became this way.
I know. I'm about to compare something that there probably shouldn't be compared. But I distinctly remember. But baseball can almost be compared across all platforms or all levels because that's how pure the game is, in my opinion. But I remember, like, I don't know what level it was. It was high school or junior high. We were slumping. We played a team that was way better than us. We got down like 8-0, but we battled back, took a lead, gave up a lead, battled, lost the game by like a run. But we were so juiced up and pumped. Like, hey, we were right there with one of these really good teams. We were down, we came back, we lost the game, but then it turned around and we started going a roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can see what you're saying right there. You had a team that had to scratch and claw their way into the wild card spot. But by doing that, they get in a rhythm. They, you know, the camaraderie. They're probably dancing in the clubhouse, all that stuff, the stuff that comes with the season and rally caps, all that. And then yeah, I could totally jump on board with that. Yeah, I've said it. I mean, they get on a heater. They get in a rhythm. You see movies about it, you know, like Major League Rookie of the Year. They're a bad team, and they get on a roll, and everyone's dancing in the dugout, all that stuff. And you go up against the big bad Yankees who are there waiting, or in this case the Phillies, you know, and they're just kind of out of sync, out of rhythm. They're going up against this team that believes that they deserve to be there and that they can hang with them.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are the perfect example of this on the negative side, because they've been so good in the regular season, and they've put away their division so quick that they're running into teams that have really been playing playoff baseball, whereas they haven't.
Right.
And so I think there's validity. Yeah, Machado, that was a wild play. Did you see that?
No.
The interference.
Look it up.
He was running from first to second, and Freeman hit him with the baseball, and it goes out in the left field. He gets to third, and it ends up, they end up scoring like 6 runs in the second inning, San Diego did. And, you know, this is one of those intricacies of review. So if you don't get it called, if it's not called interference, you can't review it. It has to be called, and then you can overturn it the other way. You can't just have a review for interference if it's not called on the field. So, that was definitely a break for the Padres, and they took complete advantage of it, scoring those 6 runs, and then they held on to win 6-5. The Mets, Pete Alonso hit a home run in the second inning, and then it's like they just were in control. And so you got Mets and San Diego up 2-1 with game 4s on their home fields today, trying to close those series out. This is the first time that all since 1995 in the division series round was created, this is the first time that all 4 series were tied 1-1.
Love it.
And here's the thing. What would you guess the percentage is? It's happened 44 times going into this year, so now 48. But going into this year, 44 times in the division series, it was tied 1-1. What do you think the rate of winning was for the team that was going home for games 3 and 4? The one that got the split on the road to start.
Maybe that was going home?
Yeah.
That started on the road, went back
started
home.
On the road, going back home.
I'm going to guess it was pretty good.
67%, 29 out of 44. And now that could be, 31 out of 46 today if the Mets and the Padres win. Of course, game 3s today on the American League side. So here's the schedule. 2 o'clock, it's Cleveland at Detroit. 4 o'clock, it's Philly at the Mets. 6 o'clock, the Yankees at Kansas City. I cannot wait to see the zoo that is Kauffman Stadium. It's just, it's probably my favorite venue in baseball for playoffs. I love the colors. I just love the blue, that the royal blue, the fountains.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Sean will realize that his Royals are in the playoffs. They've already won a series. Maybe now he'll know.
He was chopping an ear for Kansas City Chiefs.
Can he get maybe the Chiefs out of his brain? I mean, the guy went to the World Series like a decade
they
ago.
They won a meaningless – the Chiefs won a – I say meaningless. They were supposed to win that game, and they won it easy on Monday night.
But he's worried about the Chiefs. What about the Royals?
The Royals are in the playoffs. And
didn't even know. All right. And then you got Dodgers-Padres tonight at 8 o'clock. So good stuff. Major League Baseball playoffs are rolling right along, and it's been fantastic.
Love you, Sean. You know, in your defense, if my team hadn't made the playoffs in so long, I'd forget about it too.
Yeah, and you can't even say, "Well, we won the World Series since you have," because you won it last year. you've got the high ground here.
Yeah.
For right, if you're listening, anybody out there with Sean, for right. Coach Maynard coming up in the next segment. Talk Elk City, Clinton. Hey, go check out the Batten Barn, 108 Oldfield Drive, just off 20th Street here in Elk City. Man, that Batten Barn, they have a great contest going. You rent a cage, you get your name in the drawing. They're going to give away a bat, baseball or softball bat, at the end of October. They're going to start carrying all that kind of equipment out there. Just another addition to one of the coolest additions in Western Oklahoma, the Batten Barn, 108 Oldfield Drive, just off 20th Street right here in Elk City. Got all the things you need for softball and baseball training with the pitching machines, 4 cages. Got the golf simulators as well. That is the Batten Barn. Also, Boomtown Grill. What a perfect place to go eat lunch each and every day, like tomorrow. Tomorrow, head down to Boomtown at noon. Check out the Elkettes on Big Elk TV. Maybe if you can't shake loose until 1:30, you can see Hammond and Leedy on Paragon TV.
Can you do that down there?
Sure you can.
Sure if you ask them.
I bet so. And I know today you can go down there and watch playoff baseball
in
the major leagues. Boomtown Grill, 7 days a week at 2103 South Main right here in Elk City. Boomtown has got it all. Of course, tomorrow, 50-cent chicken wings at Boomtown Grill, the boneless chicken wings. All right, Jared. Big game this weekend, obviously, with Oklahoma and Texas renewing their rivalry down in Dallas. There's been all kinds of huge moments throughout the entirety of that series. When I say OU Texas, what immediately jumps to your mind? Is there a play? Is there a year? Is there a game? You know, what flies into your brain when I say, hey, it's OU Texas week?
Man, for me, it's the Superman play. I was in high school. That's a play you knew exactly where you were when it happened. And I was a high school teenager at my buddy's house, and that happened, and I probably jumped higher than he did at the end of the play, and there was a ceiling fan, and my arm hit the ceiling fan. I'm surprised it didn't just snap it. We were all freaking out, but you knew where you were during that play. And it's old enough to say it's almost a distant memory. But that one, you know, there's been a lot of plays since and, of course, before. But for me personally, it was the Roy Williams. Because it also, what the play meant, like the year before, OU just blew their doors off in that butt-whooping on their way to a national title. That next year, it was like, okay, prove it wasn't a fluke. That whole season was kind of like that. Like, prove that you were just not a flash in the pan. Prove that Oklahoma's back. And that... So there was it was such a different game compared to the offensive blowout that the game was in 2000. Well, that game, it was a defensive game, and that was the explanation point on a defensive battle with that play right there. So that one for me will always stand out as one of the all-timers. And again, we've had some recently. We've had some like 3 years ago. That game was a classic. That's what, 52 overtime game in 2000, and of course last year's game with the goal line stand, of course the final drive. But man, the Roy Williams play, Superman, stands out for me. What about you?
No doubt about it. It was that play, that game. I was in college on Meadow Lane and Weatherford, and we just went bursting out of the apartment, and to our like shock, so did everybody. Like, nobody knew every, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we just like broke out into a street party.
Yeah.
All these people were just out celebrating that play and celebrating that win. It's that. When I first think of it, it's absolutely that, 100% Roy Williams Superman play. You know, you look back at that game, looking at the stats right now, the Sooners gained 206 yards. Texas gained 225 yards. Texas turned it over four times. That was probably, at the end of the day, the difference. And, you know, you think about that play, it never could have happened if Nathan Vasher doesn't screw up the punt and catches it, you know, down there inside his five on a fair catch. And if I remember right, wasn't Oklahoma set up to kick a field goal, and Timmy Duncan is the one that actually punted it?
Yes. Yeah. It took like a quick punt.
Yeah. It snapped it to the place kicker instead of the holder on a field goal, and he kind of punted. And I'm sure that's what kind of messed up Nathan Vasher at the time, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, he fair catches it. And I heard him telling the story yesterday. I think Kale was on there, or maybe it was Monday, about that play and about how all week Mike and Stoops and Brent Venables had told Roy not to jump, do not jump. And then, of course, He hurdles the blocker, knocks the ball loose, and it just flies right into Teddy Lehman's hands, and he runs it in the end zone. The game is over.
That game itself, though, was so storybook with Jason White coming in, and it kind of threw Texas for a loop because the way he could run it at the time before the knee injuries, they weren't really prepared for him, for this kid. Jason, who is this guy? And it all kind of had a storybook to it, and very dramatic, and, of course, a dramatic ending with the play, the Superman play.
Yeah, it was. That's one. Now, negatively, some plays I remember, I was actually in the stands in 2009. You know, that was that beat-up OU team. Bradford actually came back the week before against Baylor after getting hurt against BYU down in Jerry World to open the stadium.
Yep.
You know, the reigning Heisman winner. That was both teams' top five going into the year. Then, of course, Oklahoma loses to BYU after Bradford gets hurt. Bradford comes back. Then he gets knocked out of that game, that Texas game, that day. The Texas fan cheered wildly, which lets you know exactly how cool they weren't. But with all that was going on that day, a Texas team that would go play in the national title game against Alabama later on that year, I remember it vividly because it was coming right toward our end zone. Brian Jackson intercepts a pass basically on the goal line and it looks like, holy cow, this is going to be a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown, and Oklahoma's going to somehow win this game. And Colt McCoy ran him down. And then, I mean, OU's offense, I've got a bunch of stuff. I wonder if I can pull these up. I bet you I would have a hard time believing – in that 2009 game, here they are. I've got the stats for every single game for a long time. That Oklahoma got, I don't even know if they would have gotten 200 yards of offense.
Yeah.
Now it says 311. Boy, it didn't seem like it. Maybe a bunch of that. Of course, some of that may have happened before Bradford went out. But anyway, I remember that vividly. And then the year before, when it's a huge game, undefeated, number one OU, what, number three or four Texas? Sooners look like they're about to blow them out of the stadium, and then Jordan Shipley returns that kickoff for a touchdown, and that changed the whole momentum of that game. Completely turned it around. And then the last few years, I mean, it's been, think about what we've seen outside of the year that OU didn't have a functioning quarterback. The games that we've seen since, like, oh gosh, you can go back to, like, 2014, where Swoops almost beats OU, and then 15 he does. Think about that team that beat Oklahoma, 5-7. Charlie Strong beat Baker Mayfield that went to the playoffs. You know, the 17 game when Baker found Andrews, the 18 game where Sooners getting blown out, and Kyler brings them all the way back just for Dicker the kicker to happen. 19 was CeeDee Lamb, just making Texas look foolish. You know, 20, you mentioned the overtime game, whatever, however many overtime, was it three or four overtime game?
Yeah, it was,
you know, 21,
like seven, yeah.
21, the Caleb game. And then last year, when Dylan Gabriel be etched into Sooner lore forever. It's, you know, it's been a game that's, you know, early Stoops, through middle toward late Stoops, there were some just absolute epic beatdowns. I mean, being there, I'll never forget in 2012, you know, OU killed them in 11. Then in 2012, it was a massacre, even at halftime. You know, that's the Trey Miller jumping over a guy and running the other guy
the
air.
Yeah.
Damien Williams, I think a 95-yard touchdown run.
Yes.
We go out at halftime to try to find a corny dog and a beer, and this Texas fan rolls by, just as dejected as you could be, and hands me this giant stack of the coupons for the fair. He goes, "You boys staying?" And I actually found a guy that I knew from college.
Huh.
We didn't even go back in. We just watched it on the big screen. Why?
You don't want to watch the JV.
He saved us $100 a piece
yeah.
with all the tickets he gave us, and he was just
like, "I'm out.
I'm out of here. I'm not watching this crap."
Wow.
But it's so much. I mean, as much fun as that was, and as much fun as it is on both. I mean, both. Texas finally got to administer a butt-whipping a couple years ago. That's a blast, but it's really a lot more fun when it's close and when it's intense like it's supposed to be. And it has been that way for the majority of the last decade or so. You know what's shocking? is how consistent one stat is in this game to the winner. You know what that is?
Rushing.
Rushing yards.
Yeah.
So I went all the way back to 1999. And I could actually go back further. But since 1999, they have played 26 times because there was the Big 12 title game in there as well.
Right.
Of those 26 times, only twice has the team that lost the rushing yardage battle won the game. And it was 2014, Oklahoma beat Texas like 31-26. But what did they get? They got Alex Ross returning a kickoff for a touchdown, and I think Sanchez returned an interception for a touchdown. 2018, OU won the rushing battle, the Kyler game, mm-hmm. but Texas won the game. And then in 2006, which that was Colt McCoy's first start in the game against Paul Thompson, they actually ran for the exact same amount of yardage. They both wow. ran for 124 yards in that game.
That's crazy.
The difference there was Oklahoma turned it over like four or five times, yeah. and Texas didn't. And that's the same way with the 2018 game. OU outrushed them, but turned it over three times to Texas' zero. So, you know, but
I mean, that's just.
And I think when you think about that game and the emotion of it and how it really and truly is that game where it doesn't matter. People say this about games, about rivalries. Oh, it doesn't. You know, that's not necessarily true a lot of times. You know, the best team will win.
Mm-hmm.
But in this game specifically, and honestly, especially when Oklahoma is supposed to be better, you know, that's the one scary part for Sooner fans, maybe outside of last year. But the years where it looks like Texas is better, they've won. You know, 2005 with Vince, it looked like they were better. Now, you know, OU'd won five straight, so you weren't, you know, was that going to? No, they just drummed them. 2009. Texas definitely looked better with all the injuries OU had by that point, and they won the game.
Right.
2022, without Gabriel, it looked like Texas was, you know, but think about how many times, I mean, Oklahoma got beat by Case McCoy.
Yeah.
I mean, a team that went to the playoffs got beat by Tyrone Swoops. You know, so it hasn't necessarily, now last year, you can make the case that it did. With the way everybody thought about the game last year, it seemed like most everybody thought Texas would win, and Oklahoma did. But a lot of times when Texas is supposed to win, they do. Then they're the ones that seem to pull the magic off when they're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll continue to talk about it. Anything else? Any other memories?
I don't remember what year it was. Oh, man. It's one of those beatdown years.
I mean, the beatdown years are fun.
And I was still in college, so.
But it had to have been 03 then.
Yes, that was it.
65-13.
That was it.
Yep.
So, fun story. I was in Stillwater, actually, on that day. A buddy of mine, he said, hey, I have an extra ticket to the OSU-Kansas State game. And he said, you want to go? I said, what the heck? I'm not going down to Dallas. Let's go. And we're going to run into some other friends and hang out, have a good time in Dallas or Stillwater. So we went to that game kicked that year. I believe the game kicked off at 2:30. It was an afternoon game in 03. And the OSU Kansas State game was the morning kickoff. Well, by the time that game was over and OSU had won that game that no one expected them to. And we went to friends. He was in a fraternity. I forget which one. And we were up there hanging out with them, and all these OSU guys were there. And they said, "Man, the game just started." They go, I don't see why everyone likes OU. They're not very good. And then by the end of the game, I was just kind of like, "Hey guys, what do you think now?"
Yeah, that was only the team that people literally until the end thought might be the best team of all time.
Yeah,
with the way they just ran through.
Yeah,
the
it was just. Kind of silly and fun, but I remember that in that game, I can't remember, there's an interception early in the game.
Derek Strait.
Was it Derek? And when he picked it off, and the way he just started running down the sideline, he just looked unworldly, worldly faster than anybody and burn orange. And that's when I thought. And that was still early in the game. The game was not decided by any means. I thought, oh, you're just going to win this game. Just because I think they got better athletes on the field right now.
Yeah, except for one. That was the first glimpse. When he took off that one run, he ran it all the way down there and then fumbled it.
Or when he was getting wrapped up for a sack and somehow he just using his arm, threw it, I think, like 25 yards down the field. It was incomplete. But I remember seeing that, go, whoa.
Yeah.
This guy, keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah, even in that beating that Oklahoma administered, Vince Young made a couple of wow plays like, uh-oh.
That's true.
Who the heck is this guy?
But the team OU had was way better. Yeah. And I just remember that. So that's just kind of a fun one I remember. But.
And then, of course, the next year, the welcome to college football moment for Adrian on that little fake toss where they flipped it the other way. You know, his first carry is out of the end zone. It's like almost a 100-yard touchdown run. Got out to the 50, and that's when people were like, oh, wow.
What's wild, he didn't score in that game.
This guy is unbelievable.
He had over 100 yards rushing, but he did not score in that game.
Well, yeah, it was only 12-0. Nobody really scored.
Nobody wanted to score. It was wet and rainy.
Yeah, he had 225. 32 carries for 225, the long of 44 on that first
but
carry.
Never scored. He racked up that many yards, but never punched one in. Now that was
think,
a good one.
Did he ever score
against Texas?
Yeah, I think he did in his last year, 2006. I think
no,
he scored a touchdown.
There's one.
Yeah. Because I don't think he played the next year, did he? Or he hurt his ankle in the 2005 game. When Texas just obliterated Oklahoma. I don't remember if he played or not.
We'll really break it down Friday.
Oh, yeah. More memories. More corny dogs.
Yeah.
Big thank you to our friends over at Rother Brothers. Rother Brothers is just north of Clinton on Highway 183. Family-owned dealership started by three owners in Kingfisher back in 1976. It remains family-owned. It's branched out to three different locations, covering all of western Oklahoma and Clinton, Fairview, and Kingfisher. Rother Brothers prides itself on creating a one-stop shop for all sorts of equipment, parts, repair services, many makes and models. Also, don't forget about 66 to go out west of town on Old Route 66, just west of Hutch's West Side. Go try that gluten-free crusted pizza. I'm telling you, it's delicious. It's like it's fried, but it's not. And you got none of the guilt for having fried. You got burgers, the custard. Open 7 days a week, 11 to 9. Dine in, drive through. You can order online at 66togo.us. Joining us now is Big Elk's head coach, Zach Maynard. Coach, real quick on last week. It got off to such a bad start. It felt like we had the ball about 6 seconds of the first 6 minutes with a couple of turnovers. But after that, when you guys kind of settled on in, it felt like the team continued to fight, continued to play hard. What was your assessment of last week's game against a really good Elgin team?
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. Snowballed early. However, started to make some plays there, late in the second quarter, especially in the third quarter. And, you can't turn the ball over and expect to compete with teams like that. However, I felt like we fought hard. We played the game and finished the game. But for the most part, I think if we go back, I'd love to play them again. Let me put it that way. In some way, shape, or form, because that means several things if we do get to play them again. So, but I'd love to have another shot at them. But obviously, you can't turn it over and give good teams the field position that we gave them.
Well, against Joshua, there was a vibe issue. I think this is kind of no one could really get into a rhythm or a groove, and attitudes were a little different. We kind of noticed that in that game last week the attitude was different in a good way.
Yeah, no, I think that if you look back, it's just a big growth factor. Really, you look at all the adversity we've had with different people in different places and trying to combat that and still have energy. And I think, maybe after the cash game we went a little too far, went a little over the top with it. And then last week I think really we found that happy medium of being in the right frame of mind, playing the game the right way, dealing with whatever comes at us, taking the punches, and moving forward and not getting too emotional, but also not being acting like we're at a funeral. So I feel like it was good. I feel like that will continue to be how we play the game.
Coming up tomorrow night, the Clinton Red Tornadoes come to town. Both teams 1-1 in the district. Both teams needing a win to kind of stay in touch with Elgin or Weatherford. What have you seen on film from this Clinton team that will give you guys some problems?
Their speed. You know, the Hester kid, 11, can fly. You know, number three, the Collins kid, is obviously outstanding. And 20, the Hill kid, is also an outstanding player. And, you know, one thing they're doing more this year is they're throwing it a little more. Both quarterbacks, 7 and 12, both throw a good ball and seem to be something that they like to do a little more on first down, whereas, you know, the last 3 or 4 years it's just kind of been here we come. And, you know, obviously they'll still do that. They're still going to be Clinton. They haven't changed that. But they're going to throw it a little more. So we'll have to be awake more on the back end and won't be able to use, you know, so much of our secondary in the run fit like we have in the past. So, you know, combating that is tough, but I think our kids are up for the challenge. And this is a week, you know, always we're excited for it. It's not one that you've got to hoorah and do too much. Our kids believe we can play with them. Our kids are excited about playing them. Obviously, it'd be mass band night. It'd be a packed house, massive game. And just like I told our kids, you know, on Sunday, I don't know. It's a huge district game. It has home playoff district game implications. And you may know this being the historian that you are. When's the last time Elk City had 3 consecutive years of home playoff games?
I'm going to go with never.
Well, that's our goal. We made that goal Sunday. These senior group has an opportunity to have 3 years of consecutive home playoff games, and I don't know that it's ever been done before, but if it has, it hasn't been since I've been here.
Maybe 70s, because it didn't happen when I was in school either, because we were on the road my sophomore year at Tecumseh and then to Clinton, and then junior and senior we hosted, but then the next year they were on the road at Douglas, I think. So, yeah, that may never happen. Go ahead.
You mentioned their quarterback is what they've been kind of going shuffling with both of them. What have you seen? Who does what better? Does that make it hard for you to prepare, not knowing who's going to take the snaps against you?
No, I mean, no, not necessarily, because they're both really good players in their own right. Just a little different. The play calling's not different. The same formation, same type plays. I think it's just more of one's a junior, senior, and one's a freshman. Obviously, I think they're both quality, really good players. I imagine we'll see both of them Thursday tomorrow night. But for the most part, it's not like one comes in and they're going to sling it around. They may be more adept to throw it with one more than the other, but for the most part, it's the same type of scheme.
Defensively, we're hanging out with head coach Zach Maynard of the Big Elks. Defensively, you know, it seems like at times in the past few games that we played them, get the run game going, and then all of a sudden they just commit everybody to the box, and then it's so hard to run against them because you can't block everybody. How do you feel about going into this game with the competency that we've shown through the air? Is that something you feel better? You may be able to combat that a little bit easier this year than maybe we have in the past.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, obviously we've worked on this week and really – been working on for really 2 years. You know, Logan Webb has done a great job throwing the ball. And obviously Cole Bowie and Slade Josie do a good job of getting open. You know, Easton Sloan's made some plays this year out there. So, you know, obviously I think that this year the one thing people have to do is they have to defend the length and the width of the football field with us. And also where we have the ability also to run downhill at you, which is something that we're going to kind of – hopefully get back to and get some things going on the ground a little bit better.
Yeah, and to that point, how much easier does it make it on Logan or on Cole and the guys on the outside if you can get that run game established early and then kind of feed off of it, letting the run open the pass instead of the other way around with the pass happen to open up the run?
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. If you can't run it, you can't throw it, and if you can run it, you can throw it. It's really that simple. And you can look at any offense in the world. You can look at the Sooners. You can look at Oklahoma State. You can look at whoever you want to look at. If you can't run the football, you really can't throw it. I think the only person who was successful not being able to run it was probably Mike Leach, and I'm not Mike Leach.
And in a variety of different ways.
Talk about the mascots.
So what's your favorite Halloween candy? You mentioned mass band night and everything that goes along with this rivalry. What are you expecting to see when you look up in the stands when you come out of that helmet on the south end of the end zone?
Oh, I imagine it'll be packed down there. There's no doubt that, you know, that this place, Elk City's been nothing but great. Great support for our kids, whether it be for band, vocal music, basketball, baseball, whatever sport it is. The community always does a great job of showing up and supporting our kids. And so I imagine it'll be exactly like it's been in years past. I imagine there'll be people standing on the hills on both sides, and it'll be a great atmosphere for a game. And it being a Thursday night, I think also probably adds to that as well.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think Thursday helps the attendance or hurts the attendance?
I think at home it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter for us.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I'm excited. I know Logan had last week. I think he threw a couple picks, but when he got going, he could really whip it, really zip it around. Talk about his progression as a passer. I've been impressed since this season started.
Yeah, he's always thrown a good ball. I think. The intangibles, you know, the work they put in this summer. Him by himself, but also him with his receivers and going out there and in the evenings and the nights and throwing it around. And a lot of that's timing, and you only get timing by doing it over and over and over again. So, you know, obviously he's done a great job with that. He's been a good leader, and it's helped tremendously, I think, in his growth. As a quarterback, as a passer, you know, I think maybe last year he was more of just a thrower. I think this year he kind of has more of a real idea of what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I think one of those picks last week was for sure on me. No doubt. I kind of drew it up in the sand on a third and long there right before half, just trying to maybe get some momentum. And obviously I was wrong. And so I had to wear that one. And then the other one is just you know, we're there in the second half, there towards the end, really in the fourth quarter. Once again, just trying to get some momentum, get some plays done, and you know, just Elgin kid made a great play, and tip your hat and move on.
We're halfway through the season, going into this game tomorrow night. What is something that has surprised you, maybe from what you thought preseason, that you guys are better at, and what's something that you? Maybe not as good at as what you thought you might be when we headed into the year.
Throwing the ball better, running the ball
not as
worse.
Good.
and that lands directly on my shoulders, and I think Friday night you'll see that get fixed very quickly. Thursday night, sorry.
What? Last question.
Got to be able to run the ball.
I didn't even.
Whoever
have to
runs
ask
the ball better Friday night and doesn't turn the ball over is going to win.
That sounds like what we'll talk about on the game on Saturday with the rushing stats that go along with that one as well. Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. That'll wrap up a Wednesday. Man, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Normally, we get an extra day to think about it. Instead, it'll be here before we know it.
We're not going to know what to do on Friday.
I will. Nothing.
So Thursday night games drive me crazy. Then Friday, I'm just, what do I do now?
Leave about 2.
Yeah, right.
All right, everybody have a great weekend. Skinny on Sports on the Sports End.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.